بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن رين الذنوب ومطردة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار، وحبط ما صنعوا فيها وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. وقال تعالى: قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا، الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. Say, O Muhammad, shall we inform you, we the believers, of the greatest losers as to their deeds? There are those whose effort is lost in worldly life while they think that they are doing well, while they think that they are doing good work. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 19. And in this series in which we are studying Ikhlas in the light of Imam Ghazali's teaching in his Ihya, and last week we looked at the compositions, the true meaning of intention, niyya. And in addition to that, we also had a bite-sized bit of information on the protection on protection from a prophesized fitna regarding hadith, which has emerged several times in history, and because it is emerging here again, I dealt with the basics that you can keep in mind, so that if you come up against this, then at least you can remember those points. So, and today I want to add an extra bit before I go back to Bayanu Haqiqat al-Niyyah, to the core subject. I want to add another bite-sized bit of information that is related to hadith. And this is to also augment what we talked about last week. And for this, in this bite size, there is but before I do that, we're going to recount what we learned from Bayanu Haqiqat al-Niyyah last week. And there were 9 things that we were to keep in mind that we learned. The first was that niyyah, intention, is a state, a condition, a characteristic in the heart. It's a state of the heart, a condition of the heart, and not a script. It's not some script that you can run or a sentence you can say, but it's a characteristic of the heart. So that was the first main thing that you had to understand. And the second thing was that niyyah is surrounded by these two preceding and following aspects, which are it's surrounded by these two things, which is ilm and amal, knowledge and action. The third was that every action or stillness has 3 components. The 3 components were ilm, irada, and qudra, knowledge, will, and capacity. And Imam Ghazali said that la yuridul insanu ma la ya'lam, that a person does not intend that which they do not know. وَلَا يَعْمَلْ مَا لَمْ يُرِدْ and they do not do that which they do not intend. So these 3 things are to be taken into consideration. But niyyah, irada, the point number 4 was that niyyah, irada, and qasd, which are synonymous terms for intention, niyyah in the sense that it in essence is a motivation in the heart towards that which a person perceives as being desirable and as being favorable to one's purpose. It's desirable, favorable to your interest. Number five was that we are created such that some things are favorable, some things are in our interest, some things we enjoy, they're favorable to us, and some are harmful and repugnant. And therefore, we need a system, they're repugnant and harmful, so we need a system that which will draw things that are beneficial and repel things that are harmful. And that system is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into us is highly dependent on recognition of things as such. We have to recognize something as in the recognition of the existence of food as favorable. Only then we'll be able to consume food. And similarly, recognizing the existence of some things that are harmful, like fire, it is necessary to recognize the nature of things in order to avoid them or attract them. Number six was that in addition to perception, we are endowed with inclination and desire, will and orientation. But in addition to these, we also need strength and capacity to follow through with the orientation, the will, the desire, the inclination. So there is an added capacity and an added component that is in this system. And then number seven was that the strength and the capacity to do something is dependent on inclination and desire, which is dependent in turn dependent on will and motivation, which is in turn dependent on perception or assumption or belief. So you have to believe, you have to know in order to have a motivation or an inclination towards it. So the will is dependent on all of these. Number eight was that niyyah, which is the will, the motivation, the intention, is an emergent intermediary feature in this process. It's an emergent intermediary feature in the process. It is sandwiched between the perception and inclination on one side and strength and capacity on the other. Number nine was that for a single action, a person can have a single motive, a single will, an intention, but you can also have multiple motives with varied levels of strength. And there are four ways in which these can be configured. The first is where one motive is sufficient, and the second was when there are two motives, but both motives are equally strong enough to be independent drivers. The third is where one motive is strong enough to be an independent driver. But it is also supported by another motive, which is weaker, which would not be sufficient enough to be a driver towards action. And the third configuration is when both are weak and would not be sufficient on their own to be a driving force towards action. But when they are combined, they become a driving force. And we stopped at the first example that Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi gave, which was the one about a person who is running away from an animal, who when an animal pounces, you run, and you have at that point you will have ikhlas. And the other configuration, inshallah, we'll go through them quickly and then move on to the other chapter. But before I go on to that, I want to give you another bite size about hadith as a continuation of last week's bite size. And the hope is that it will, inshallah, help you to protect your iman and your Islam. And this is regarding an argument that people often use. And this argument is that they in their call for disregarding hadith, they usually make the specious claim, which is a fallacy. And the claim is that hadith were only recorded 300 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the claim. In order to distance you from hadith, that look, okay, the Quran was recorded, but the hadith was not recorded. Now, it is really important for you as young people To understand this and for your own peace of mind to know very clearly that this is a complete fallacy. A fallacy that is aimed at undermining first your legacy and by extension your faith. In fact, it's a crude trick. It's but it can be effective as one if we happen to be unfamiliar with the real history. So this is what I want to do today, is to give you seven historical points to keep in mind, to bring to mind whenever you hear this fallacy. And the first point is that despite the meager resources at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he appointed scribes in his lifetime to whom he dictated a variety of documents, not just the Quran, but many things. And scholars and historians have actually counted the number of scribes, and the number reaches nearly 65 Sahaba who functioned as scribes for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember this, that it wasn't just one or two, there's a large number, 65 of them. Number two, point number two, is that several of the Sahaba had their own collections of written hadith manuscripts in manuscript form, their own private collections. For example, the famous manuscript, the Sahifa al-Sadiqa, which was written by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. This manuscript was inherited by his grandson Amr ibn Shu'aib, and its contents were recorded in the musnad of the imam we spoke of last week, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He recorded it in his musnad. Another example is that of the Sahifa Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, which is recorded also by Imam Bukhari and others. A third example is that the hadith manuscript of the Sahabi Sa'd ibn Ubadah, which is recorded by Imam Tirmidhi in his Jami'. So there are examples that we have very solid examples of Sahaba having their own manuscripts. Number three is that in addition to these manuscripts, there were a whole host of other documents dictated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with guidance on various topics for purposes of people who were not immediately in front of him, like for governors, for teachers, for those responsible positions. And these documents included instructions on managing affairs of people, documents explaining the rules of Islam and its belief, documents explaining the rules of zakat, documents outlining the rules of diya, hudud, etc. A famous example of this is one of the documents that is ascribed to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, who wrote that he was one of the scribes. Another document was written for his emissary, one of the emissaries to Yemen. His name was Amr ibn Hazm. There was a document sent to him with about the details of Islam and the rules of zakat, etc. So that's a different genre of documents. And then a third genre of documents is documents that were produced on special occasions for requests or for events. And one example of that is that when, and this hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari, he said when the Prophet ﷺ gave a sermon one day, and this was after in Fatah Mecca, I'll read you the hadith. لما فتحت مكة قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فذكر الخطبة وخطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خطبة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال فقام رجل من أهل اليمن. Now the person stood up after hearing the khutbah of Rasulullah, the sermon of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he said to him, يا رسول الله, O Prophet of Allah, اكتبوا لي. He said, write this khutbah for me. Now, imagine if they didn't have any idea about writing and know what would be the response. The response of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, instead, he did not ignore him. He complied and he said, "Uktubu li Abi Shahin, write this khutbah." He ordered that the khutbah be written for this Sahabi because he wanted it. He wanted perhaps to take it to with him on his journey wherever he was going. Well, an old person, Abu Shahin. So this is not a unknown thing in the culture in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that at that time. Now you must remember, now this is point number five, is that one has to remember that this is all happening in a culture where the dominant mode of transmission of knowledge and ideas was primarily through strong oral tradition. They had a very strong oral tradition, a tradition employing human memory of a kind that today we will consider extraordinary. You know, the powers of retention was amazing. You don't have words to describe it. You know, a poem would be read, a poem with 100 couplets would be read in the morning in the marketplace, and by evening it would have reached all the surrounding villages. People would have memorized it purely through human memory. You know, they would memorize their family lineages, the lineages of their horses and camels. They knew that they depended on the memory. The main thing, there are many stories of this fascinating power of the Arab memory. Inshallah, if we have time at the end, I'll tell you a very funny story as well. But the point here is that these people, in spite of being of having such strong memories and using this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had foresight. He knew that a time will come when people's memory will drop. You know, 15 years ago, everyone now that are alive today, most people would have memorized their phone numbers, and about 15, 16, two dozen, at least a dozen phone numbers. But now we've lost it. People don't even know their own phone numbers today. And that is what happened when technology comes in. It causes you to rely on the technology and the memory, the power of the memory, your strength of retention drops. So in the early days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Quran was being revealed, he did not want Quran to be confused with hadith, so he ordered the people not to write hadith. But as people memorized the Quran and Islam spread, he actively promoted writing to communicate this communication with people far and wide, beyond the constraints of Medina and Mecca, far beyond, you know, the people in Yemen and various other places. He had, of course, the foresight of the future, that people will be dependent on writing. And so after the Battle of Badr the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a battle where people came to kill them, people came to murder them. And Allah, through the help of Allah, the Muslims won that battle. And in that battle, they took prisoners. They had war prisoners. And the ransom, one of the ways you could earn your freedom was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled that you had to teach 10 Muslims to read and write. Once they learned how to read and write, when they could demonstrate that your 10 students, whether they're children or adults, whoever you're teaching, whoever appointed to you, you had to teach them 10 people to read and write. And once that was achieved, then you would earn your freedom. These are war criminals, people who had come to kill them, and yet that was the ransom. You had to do that. And so several Sahaba were able to prepare their own manuscripts, and they learned how to read and write. So the idea that pen was unknown, the idea of a pen was unknown in 7th century Arabia, is completely false. And this idea that they had some antipathy to writing is nonsense. And among the first verses that was revealed from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was what? Iqra, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi 'allama bil qalam 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. Recite in the name of your Lord who created man from a clinging substance. Recite, and your Lord is most gracious, who taught by the pen, taught man that which he did not know, or that which he knew not. So would a people who are being reminded by the creator of the heavens and the earth that he taught by the pen, would they have an aversion to the pen? Of course not. So now, point number six, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the Sahaba to transmit his teachings. And in this hadith, openly, there was an incentive to do it. He said, Naddalallahu imra'an sami'a maqalati faballagaha. That may Allah make the face of the person who may make the face shine of the person who hears what I say and then conveys it. So the conveying of this, how do you convey it? You convey it by record, either by strong memory or by writing. And they were writing. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي, another hadith. بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. So convey of me, take me, take my words. وَلَوْ آيَةً, even if it's one verse, you convey from me. So these were, the Sahaba were incentivized to preserve and convey the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The seventh thing to bear in mind here is that the Sahaba lived till the year 102. The era of the Sahaba ended in the year 102 Hijri. The last Sahaba to die, radiallahu anhu, was Abu Tufail, Amir ibn al-Wathilata al-Laythi, al-Kinani. He's radiallahu anhu. He was the last Sahaba to die, Abu Tufail, Amir. And he died in the year 102. But in the year, something amazing happened to the Ummah, is that the blessed, we had a renewal of the Khilafah, al-Rashida, with the arrival on the seat of Khilafah was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great Khalifa of the Muslims at that time. And as soon as he arrived, he realized that the Sahaba were dying. And of course, they had their collections, but they were dying. And so he promptly, immediately, as soon as he came, one of the first things he did was that he appointed many scholars to gather these collections of hadith. This was one of the tasks. And in that, one of the great scholars that he appointed was Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahmatullah alayhi. This scholar took, his task specifically was compiling the manuscripts and turning them into books. That was his job. And this is in the Khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, which was for 2 years. He came in 101. And for his 2.5 years, this is what they did. He compiling the manuscripts into books, and then copies of those books were made and sent in cities throughout the caliphate. This has happened exactly as Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and who did with the Quran, that he made copies and sent them to different cities. They did this with hadith as well. So keeping all these in mind is important, because these are all historical facts. And so when anyone says to you that hadith were only written 300 years later, they're either one of two things. They're either profoundly ignorant about this history, or they are willfully trying to mislead you for some ulterior motive. Often that motive is to reform Islam, because they are usually fooled into, or convinced, you know, into believing, brainwashed into believing that they are this year's Martin Luther of Islam, or this month perhaps, you know, they keep coming out of the woodworks, and because every so often you see the new Martin Luther of Islam coming out. So this is a big problem, that people are being encouraged to think that they are the new Martin Luther, Luther who has just come out to reform Islam. Now, I'm not going to go further into this. For more on this, please listen to episode 12 and episode 13 of this same series. Inshallah, you will hear there's more to about Reformation and the people behind it. Now, to return to our discussion, let's go back to that. Chapter that we were doing, which was, we did the first example. The first example was that the one about people carrying, about a person being attacked by an animal. The second configuration, as we said, was when there are two things, and wallow in farada, that they are equally strong. And the example he gives, I'm not going to read the text because we've already used up quite a lot of the time, and I have a lot to say today. So is that if a relative comes to you, a poor relative comes to you and to ask for help, if you help that person, then you'll be helping them for two reasons. One, you can help them for two reasons. One is that person is your relative, so you help a relative, or the person, and that person is poor, you help. But if it was a rich relative, would you help yes, you will help. And if it was a poor person who was not your relative, you will still help. So that is, in both motivations are the same. But then there's another configuration. It is like two people carrying a heavy load, but they will not be able to carry it independently. And that intention is the one, if a relative comes to you and asks for something, you will not, if a rich relative come, you will not give, but if a poor relative come, you will give. So because both you would not give, but if a person who is unknown to you and alone and he's poor, then you will not give as well. But when the two come together, then you will give. So that's the motivation. For two reasons, that motivation causes you to do it. And this is not about sitting there and calculating. It's about what happens in the heart. And the fourth one was, وَلَوْ إِنْفَرَضَ الثَّانِي, he said, أَنْ يَكُونَ أَحَدُ الْبَعِثَيْنِ مُسْتَقِلًا لَوْ إِنْفَرَضَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَالثَّانِي لَا يَسْتَقِلُ. He said that one is stronger than the other. But so one would be able to be a driver for action, to take you. That intention, that motivation is strong enough to take you to do something. But the second one wouldn't be strong enough to do so. What the example is given. He said the example for that is the person who has a routine of reading a certain dhikr after salah, or a habit of giving certain sadaqah, certain charity. فاتفق أن حضر في وقت جمع في وقتها, but then people come visit his house. فصار الفعل أخف عليه بسبب the giving of charity or doing the dhikr now becomes even more pleasurable or easier for him to do or more attractive for him to do because because people are there, people are watching. ولو علم, and of course that would be a tainted intention. It will, his action will be tainted by the fact that there's riya in it. So the conclusion of this chapter was that al-ba'ith, the motivation, the niyyah, will be imma yakuna rafiqan. It will be accompanying it, or it will be a shared equal thing, or mu'in, and it's helping, or it will be ikhlas, it will be khalis. So that is that chapter. Now we'll move to this one. We will skip over, but بيان تفصيل الأعمال المتعلقة بالنية. اعلم. He said this is the exposition of the details of action in relation to intention. اعلم. أن المال, أن الأعمال إن استق وإن وإن انقسمت أقساما كثيرة. The actions are infinite, min fa'ilin wa qawlin wa harakatin wa sukunin wa jalbin wa daf'in. There are lots of types of action, and it's not possible to encompass them all together, but you can put them into three categories. He says, فَهِيَ ثَلَاثَةُ أَقْسَامٍ مَعَاصٍ, which are sins, disobediences, ma'asin, sins, that's one category. The second is ta'at, which is obediences, following what Allah says. And the third are mubahat, which are allowable things, which are things that are allowed, neutral. They're neither sin nor they're obediences, as in confirmation, as in following, but they are mubaha, they are allowed, allowable things. So the first category, the first one, he's looking at intention in relation to sin. And here there is a big confusion that happens. Shaitan comes and plays with people's mind. And this is why I'm particularly keen to get this one clear in your minds. وَهِيَ لَا تَتَغَيَّرُ عَنْ مَوْضُوعَاتِهَا بِالنِّيَّةِ, that sin does not change from in its place from by niyyah, with intention. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَفْهَمَ الْجَاهِلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عُمُومِ قَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. He said, a person must not take the general meaning of the hadith, of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ, actions will be judged according to intentions. Because a lot of people today, you know, they do all kinds of things and say, oh, well, my intention was good. You know, it doesn't matter. I want to, my intention was good. Don't think about what I'm doing. Just think about my intention. So sins do not become obediences with intention. This is what he's emphasizing here. But he said, فَيَظُنَّ أَنَّ الْمَعْصِيَةَ تَنْقَلِبْ طَاعَةً بِالنِّيَّةِ. And he thinks, he hears this statement of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then he thinks that, and he's saying that الجاهل, this is the ignorant person, the poor, the foolish person. So he hears this and he thinks that, oh, well, ma'siyah, because if good deeds could turn into sin with intention, if you have the bad intention and do something good, then that turns into a bad deed. So the reverse must be possible. This is what should happen. So he's saying that he thinks that tanqalibu ta'atan min binniyat, he thinks that ta'a and obedience may turn into obedience, because if you have an intention, if you have an explanation for it. فكالذي, and he gives an example, he says كالذي يختاب إنسانا مراعاة لقلب غيره. He said there's like a person who indulges in ghiba, in backbiting, for the sake of catering for the hearts of some people. You know, he's saying, oh, I'm doing good because, you know, I just wanted to not hurt his heart, so I said, because they were all doing it and I wanted to do it, but I was taking care of his heart, I didn't want to hurt them. أو يطعم فقيرا من مال غيره, or he gives a poor person wealth that he has stolen from someone else. أو يبني مدرسة أو مسجدا, or he builds a madrasa or a masjid. أو رباط من مال الحرام, he does these good deeds like building masjids and building madrasas from haram wealth. وقصده الخير, and he has good intentions. And what's his qasd? But he's using haram money, like people use riba to give it to charity and expect a reward for it. بل قصده الخير بالشر على خلاف مقتضى الشر شر آخر. Now this is an important sentence. He's saying that his intention of khair with his intention for good with evil, through evil, in contradiction of the Sharia, is a second evil. It's شر آخر. فإن عرفه, and if he does this knowingly, فهو معاند للشر. If he does this knowingly, then he is in clear, willful opposition to the Sharia, to the guidance that Allah has sent for the guidance of mankind. وإن جهله, and if he is ignorant of it, فهو عاص بجهله. And then, therefore, he is a sin simply on the basis of his ignorance. إذ طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Because seeking knowledge is compulsory on every Muslim. What knowledge? The knowledge that is related to your daily life. If you want to be a businessman, then you have to learn what Islam requires of you to do in business. You have to learn what are the commandments of Allah. If you want to get married, you have to learn what are the commandments of Allah upon you. What are the commandments that are directed to you as a husband? If you have to learn what are the commands of Allah on you as a wife, as a teacher, whatever you're doing, you have to so that is farida. This is faridatun ala kulli Muslim, on every believer. Everyone needs to learn those things. So if you cannot profess ignorance as a defense. So he's saying, فَكَيْفَ يُمْكِنُ أَن يَكُونَ الشَّرُّ خَيْرًا وَالْخَيْرَاتِ. He said, فَهُوَ عَاسٍ إِذْ طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيدَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَالْخَيْرَاتُ إِنَّمَا عُرِفَ كَوْنُهَا خَيْرَاتٍ بِالشَّرِّ. And this is the big problem here. He's saying that for a Muslim, khair, good things, what is in essence right and good, is known through the guidance of Allah, the Sharia, what Allah has sent. That is what you know what is good. فَكَيْفَ يُمْكِنْ أَن يَكُونَ شَرُّ خَيْرًا. So how is it possible that evil can be good? هيهات, هيهات. Of course not. بَلِ الْمُرَوِّجُ لِذَٰلِكَ عَلَى الْقَلْبِ خَفِيُّ الشَّهْوَةِ وَبَاطِنُ الْهَوَىٰ. He said the facilitator, he said in reality what this is that the facilitator, the thing that brings, that sprouts this in the heart, is a hidden desire, a deep desire, hawa. It has other things in it. It is a lowly desire inside. فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا كَانَ مَائِلًا إِلَىٰ طَلَبِ الْجَاءِ. If the heart is generally inclined towards seeking position, seeking place among people. Then wa istimalati qulub an-nas and drawing the hearts of people towards him, wasair hudud an-nafs and all the fortunes of the nafs, tawassala ash-shaytan bihi ila at-talbis 'ala al-jahil. Then shaitan will use this, shaitan will make this a medium, he will use through this yearning for Ulu, this learning, this yearning for standards and for getting high status, shaitan will come and use that to confuse the jahil, to confuse the foolish person. وَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ سَهَلٌ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. He's quoting now the saying from one of the scholars. He's saying, مَا عُسِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِمَعْصِيَةٍ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. That Allah was not disobeyed with anything greater than ignorance. قِيلَ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدٍ هَلْ تَعْرِفُ شَيْئًا أَشَدَّ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ. He said, someone asked him, he said, do you know anything more severe than ignorance? He said, قَالْ نَعْمْ. He said, I know, yes, there is something more severe than ignorance. He said, الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ. Ignorance of your ignorance. الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ. Ignorance of your ignorance. That is worse than ignorance. وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالْ لِأَنَّ الْأَنْ. And it is so because, as he said, لِأَنَّ الْجَهْلَ بِالْجَهْلِ يَسُدُّ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ بَابَ التَّعَلُّمِ. He said that the جَهْل بِالْجَهْل, that ignorance of your ignorance, closes the door completely towards learning, towards increasing, towards gaining knowledge. It shuts the door. فَمَنْ يَظُنُّ بِالْكُلِّيَّةِ بِنَفْسِهِ أَنَّهُ عَالِمٌ. So the one who thinks that he is a complete, he thinks completely that he believes that he is an alim, كَيْفَ يَتْعَلَّمُ. How is it possible that this person can learn, will learn and will recognize? So الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ is the worst form of it. And he's saying, وَكَذَلِكَ أَفْضَلُ مَا أُطِيعَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ الْعِلْمُ. The best through which Allah is obeyed is through knowledge. ورأس العلم علم بالعلم. And the head of knowledge, the highest form of knowledge, is the knowledge of knowledge. What does that mean? That means having the value of knowledge in your heart, recognizing the quality of the knowledge you have. That quality, that value for this knowledge. This, what knowledge are we talking about? We're talking about the knowledge that is sent by Allah, the knowledge that Allah has sent for us, the knowledge that is sent for the guide, for your guidance, for your salvation, for your success in the next life. So for that, he's saying that ilm, in recognizing that knowledge and valuing it and thanking Allah for it. كَمَا أَنَّ رَأْسُ الْجَهْلِ الْجَهْلُ بِالْجَهْلِ. And so it is, for that the highest form of ignorance is the ignorance of your own ignorance. And that's it, he's saying. فَإِنَّ مَنْ لَا يَعْلَمُ الْعِلْمَ النَّافِعُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ الضَّارُ اشْتَغَلَ بِمَا أَكَبَّ النَّاسُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْعَوَامِ الْمُزَخْرَفَةِ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الْمُزَخْرَفَةِ التي هي وسائلهم إلى الدنيا وذلك هو مادة الجهل ومنبع فساد العالم. He's saying فساد العالم. It's saying that when a person is unable to distinguish what is beneficial and what is harmful because of lack of knowledge, when he does not have لا يعلم علما, he does not have the knowledge to recognize what is good and what is bad, what is beneficial and what is harmful, he will then seek the things that will draw people. That he will look for the flowery knowledge, you know, the juicy bits that will attract people. Yeah, well, here and through which he can attract, through which he can gain dunya. He can gain the chattels and the ruins of this world. Hutam dunya. وَذَلِكَ هُوَ مَادَةُ الْجَهْلِ. And this is the ingredients of ignorance and the source of fasadul alim. Of fasadul alim or alim. It's the corruption of the alim. والمقصود أن قصد الخير بمعصية عن جهل فهو غير معذور. So the point he's making, he's saying that to intend good through evil on the basis of ignorance is inexcusable. فهو غير معذور. It is inexcusable. إلا إذا كان قريب الأهد بالإسلام ولم يجد بعد. Except in one case, if a person has recently entered into Islam, and he does not have enough time. He did not have enough time to learn. Then such a person, his ignorance or her ignorance, will be forgiven. If it's not a long time, because as we said, faridatun ala kulli Muslim, it is compulsory on every Muslim. So if he's recently accepted Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly in the Quran, fas'alu ahla al-dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. Ask the person of knowledge, those who know. Ask the people of remembrance, in other words, the people who know. Ask those, in kuntum la ta'lamun, if you do not know. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعذر الجاهل على الجهل, that the ignorant person will not be excused on his ignorance. ولا يحل للجاهل أن يسكت على جهله, and it is not allowed, it is prohibited for an ignorant person to remain silent on about his ignorance. In other words, he should seek to improve his knowledge, to know, especially if he's involved in something that is related to his deen, that in which there are rules that are associated to his deen, then he needs to learn it. If you're a student, then you have to know what the rules of students are. What about the rule if you're a teacher? You have to know what Islam says for you as a student, as a teacher. وَلَا لِلْعَالِمِ, so he's saying, لَا يَحِلُّ لِلْجَاهِلِ أَنْ يَسْكُتَ عَلَىٰ جَهْلِهِ, it is not allowed for an ignorant person to remain silent on his ignorance. وَلَا لِلْعَالِمِ أَنْ يَسْكُتَ عَلَىٰ عِلْمِهِ, and neither it is allowed for an alim to remain silent with his knowledge. So if he sees something wrong, if he's asked, he has to speak. And if he sees something wrong, then he should inform, he should teach, he should make it clear. So he's not allowed to remain silent. وَيَقْرُبُ مِنْ تَقَرُّبِ السَّلَاطِينَ بِبِنَاءِ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَالْمَدَارِسِ وَالْمَالِ بِالْمَالِ الْحَرَامِ وَتَقَرُّبُ الْعُلَمَاءِ السُّوءِ بِتَعْلِيمِ الْعِلْمِ. And then he goes into a deep discussion about the teaching of ilm, high knowledge of deen, to people who have bad behavior, people who are ashrar, people who are wicked, so he's saying that here, that people learn, if you teach, and this is for intention, why do you teach? If you teach people who only the people who are rich, and some of them might have bad intentions, some of them might have bad behavior, and we are talking here about the high sciences, because the high sciences are impressive. If you learn the high sciences, the person goes and learns tafsir, and he goes around saying, oh, well, you know, ex-imam says this, and this imam said this, and he's impressing people. But then if his intentions are not in the right place, if his wara, his scrupulousness and his deen is corrupted, and you teach somebody like that, then you will create problems for the ummah. So he's saying, تَقَرُّبُ الْعُلَمَاءِ السُّوءِ بِتَعَلِيمِ الْعِلْمِ. He said, they go close to the ulama السُّوءِ. And he used this, he said, that evil ulama, بِتَعَلِيمِ السُّفَهَاءِ وَالْأَشْرَارِ, they teach the wrong, the foolish and the evil people, الْمَشْغُولِينَ بِالْفِسْقِ, the people who are involved in fisq, in wickedness, والفجور and evil, قَاسِرِينَ هِمَمُهُمْ على ممارات العلماء ومبارات السفهاء. These people whose only intention for learning this knowledge is to enter into disputation with the ulama. That's the reason they're studying, and the reason to have contest with the weak-minded and the foolish. واستمالة وجوه الناس إليهم, to draw people towards them. وجمع هطام الدنيا, and the gathering of the chattels of this world, the ruins of this world. وَأَخْذِ أَمْوَالِ السَّلَاطِينَ, and taking the wealth of the princes and the rulers. وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, and the wealth of the orphans and wealth of the poor. فَإِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ إِذَا تَعَلَّمُوا, he said, if these kinds of people, if they learn this knowledge, the knowledge, كَانُوا قُطَّاعَ طَرِيقِ اللَّهِ, that they will be highway robbers on the path of Allah. This is كانوا قطاع طريق الله, that they're calling themselves, they will present themselves as if they are ulama and they are scholars, but in fact they are قُطَّاعُ الطَّرِيقِ قُطَّاعُ طَرِيقِ اللَّهِ They will be robbers on the path of Allah. They will come there. وَإِنْ هَذَا كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ فِي بَلْدَتِهِ نَائِبًا عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ They will become in their own cities and the places where they dwell. They will become نَائِبًا عَنِ الدَّجَّالِ They will become deputies to Dajjal. يَتَكَالِبَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا He goes after the dunya. وَيَتَّبِعِ الْهَوَى He follows his yearning. He follows his desires. ويتباعد عن التقوى and he keeps away he has nothing to do with no taqwa ويستجرئ الناس بسبب مشاهدته على معاصي and the problem the great problem is this is that through his behavior he'll be encouraging others people will see him thinking oh this alim is doing this maulana is doing x y and z look what he's doing yes so we can also do the same type of sin is maybe it's not that bad ثم قد ينتشر ذلك العلم إلى مثله وأمثاله and then the problem, the greater problem is that this knowledge may then transfer from him to other people like him, to other people like him. ويتخذونه أيضا آلة ووسيلة في الشر واتباع الهوى. Who will also take it as a tool, as a means to which they will follow the evil path, this evil path with deen. They have all, they talk like if they are ulama. ويتسلسل ذلك and then this begins to perpetuate it's happening it goes on and on and on وبابال and this is the dangerous thing وبابال جميعه and the calamity of all of this يرجع إلى المعلم الذي علمه العلم it will return to the first teacher the one who taught him who taught such a person in the beginning علمه العلم مع علمه بفساد دينه وقصده despite knowing that this person is corrupted this is a corrupted person in his niyyah and in his motive ومشاهدته انواع المعاصي من اقواله and even despite seeing that this person is committing sin in his speech and in his actions في مطعمه وملبسه ومسكنه that in his eat and his eating and dress and dressing and drinking فيموت هذا العالم And this scholar, this one who started this problem, فيموت, he dies. وتبقى آثار شره منتشرة في العالم. But the evil of his action remains in the world. في العالم ألف سنة أو ألفي سنة. It can be up to 1,000 years or 2,000 years. May Allah protect us. وطوبى لمن إذا مات So blessed is the one who, if he dies, مَاتَ مَعْهُ ذُنُوبُهُ That his sins will die with him. That tuba, blessed are the ones who, when they die, their sins die with them. ثُمَّ الْعَجَبْ And then, how strange it is, مِنْ جَهْلِهِ حَيْثُ يَقُولُ And then, it is also how strange it is from the ignorance of these people who would say, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَقَصَدْتُ بِذَلِكَ نَشْرِ عِلْمِ الدِّينِ Said, Said a person may come and say, oh, you're an alim who's teaching for the sake of dunya. A person who say, oh, well, this is, I'm teaching for, that my intention is to do good, to serve deen. فَإِنْ إِسْتَعْمَلَهُ هُوَ فِي الْفَسَادِ فَالْمَعْصِيَةُ مِنْهُ لَا مِنِّي He will say, well, look, if he uses it in ma'asiyah, if he uses it in sin, then it's not my problem. I had a good intention. وَمَا قَصَدْتُ بِهِ إِلَّا يَسْتَعِينَ بِهِ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ I only intended for him to use it in khair. وإنما حب الرئاسة والاستتباع والتفاخر بعلو العلم يحسن ذلك في قلبه. And he said, in truth, what happens here is that it is the love for position, the love for leadership, the love for following, the love and pride with one's knowledge that beautifies this pursuit in the heart. والشيطان بواسطة حب الرئاسة يلبس عليه and shaitan through the means of seeking leadership confuses him وليت شعري ما جوابه عمن وهب سيفا he said tell me he said I would like to know tell me وليت شعري ما جوابه what will be such a person's answer to a question عمن وهب about a person who gives a sword to a highway robber. وَعَدَّ لَهُ خَيْلًا Then prepare for him a horse. Give him a ride, give him a sword, and prepare all the things that he needs gives him good thing, things that you would need, that a highway robber uses to go on the highway and rob people. Give him a sword, give him a horse with stirrups and saddle and everything. وَيَسْتَعِينَ بِهَا عَلَىٰ مَقْصُودِهِ وَيَقُولُ إِنَّمَا أَرَبْتُ الْبَذْلُ وَالسَّخَاءَ. And he says, oh, I'm just, I want to, all I intended was sharing and generosity. He said, that doesn't explain it. وَالتَّخَلُّقْ بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. And something, and doing something which is and following the characteristic that Allah loves. وَقَصَدْتُ بِهِ أَنْ يَغْزُو. I wanted him to fight in the path of Allah. وَالْخَيْلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. فَإِنَّ إِعْدَادِ الْخَيْلِ وَالْرِبَاطِ وَالْقُوَّةِ. And he makes all these arguments that how important it is, it's good. فَإِنْ هُوَ صَرَفَهُ إِلَىٰ قَطْعِ الطَّرِيقِ. If that person uses it in robbing the highway, فَهُوَ الْعَاصِي. He's the one who makes the mistake. وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْفُقَعَاءَ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ حَرَامٌ. And everyone knows that that is haram, robbing people. مَا أَنَّ السَّخَاءَ هُوَ أَحَبُّ الْأَخْلَاقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. That generosity is the most beloved thing to Allah. وَأَحَبُّهَا إِلَيْهِ السَّخَاءَ. And the most beloved to him is generosity. He said, you can say all of this. But then he says, وَلَيْتَ شَعْرِي لِمَا حُرِمَ ذَلِكَ. He's saying, tell me, why is this sakha haram? Why is it sakha? Why is this generosity haram here? Why is it? He said, وَلِمَا وَجَبَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَنْظُرْ إِلَى قَرِينَةِ حَالِهِ هَذَا مِنْ هَذَا مِنْ هَذَا الظَّالِمِ. Why is it necessary to look at what this person is going to do with it? He's saying, فَإِذَا لَاحَ مِنْهُ عادته أنه فإذا لاح له من عادته أنه يستعين بالسلاح على الشر فينبغي أن يسعى في سلب سلاحه. That if you look at the person and you realize that this person is going to use his sword to rob on the highway, then your job is to take away his sword. لا في يمده بخير. No, you give him good things. والعلم. And he talks about what this knowledge is. He says, "Wal ilmu silahun." He said, "Knowledge is a weapon. Knowledge is a sword. It's a silah. Yuqatilu bihi shaytan. Yuqatilu bihi ash-shaytanu wa a'da'u Allah." Knowledge is a sword. Knowledge is a weapon with which you fight, in which the shaytan and the enemies of Allah are fought. وَقَدْ يُعَاوِنُ بِهِ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the enemies of Allah might use it to fight a'da' Allah, wa huwa al-hawa. And this is, of course, the yearning. This is the disease, desire. فَمَنْ لَا يَزَالُ مُؤْثِرًا لِلدُّنْيَا عَلَىٰ دِينِهِ. The one who gives preference to his dunya in all his affairs over his akhirah, over his deen. وَلِهَوَاهُ عَلَىٰ أَخِرَتِهِ. And he gives preference to his dunya over his deen, his yearning, his belief, his desire over his akhirah. وَهُوَ عَاجِزٌ عَنْهَا لِقِلَّةِ فَضْلِهِ. And he has no capacity to do better. He's not doing. فَكَيْفَ يَجُوزُ إِمْدَادُهُ بِنَوْعِ الْعِلْمِ مِنَوْعِ عِلْمٍ يَتَمَكَّنُ بِهِ الْوُسُولِ إِلَىٰ شَهَوَاتِ. How is it possible? How is it possible that you can give such a person knowledge who will then use it for dunya? بَلْ لَمْ يَزَلِ الْعُلَمَاءُ السَّلَفِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ يَتَفَقَّدُونَ أَحْوَالَ مَنْ يَتَرَدَّدْ إِلَيْهِمْ. He said that the ulama of the past, the ulama al-salaf, our predecessors, the ulama, he said they used to look into the life, the conditions of the people, the ahwal, the situation, the life situations of the people who used to come to them. فَلَوْ رَأَوْ مِنْ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ تَقْصِيرًا فِي نَفْلٍ مِّنْ نَوَافِلٍ. He said sometimes even if they see that one person was leaving a nafil, one nafil of the nawafil, they ankaru wa taraku ikramahu. They would leave him. They would not go with him. They would avoid him. وَإِذَا رَأَوْا مِنْهُ فُجُورًا وَإِسْتِحْلَالَ حَرَامٍ. And if they see that a sin or making haram halal something, هَجَرُوهُ وَنَفَرُوهُ عَنْ مَجَالِسِهِمْ. That they would leave, they would expel him and leave him, not allow him to come into their majalis, into their gatherings. If the minute they see something wrong, see him wrong. وَتَرَكُوا تَكْلِيمَهُ فَضْلًا عَنْ تَعْلِيمِهِ. They wouldn't even show respect to him. They would not allow him to come. They would not, such people, and they would not even speak to them, much less teach them. لِعِلْمِهِمْ بِأَنَّ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ مَسْأَلَةً وَلَمْ يَعْمَلْ بِهَا وَجَاوَزَهَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهَا. The person who learns a mas'ala, You know, a fiqh, he learns all these fancy ideas about fiqh. And now today, this is happening. Imam Ghazali is warning this nearly 1,000 years ago. But now we have people who have you know, they come up and take fatwas from the internet, from Google, and make themselves mufti on their own, you know, and then claim that they can speak Arabic when they can't. So he says, This person who is only seeking evil, وَقَدْ تَعَوَّضَ وَقَدْ تَعَوَّضَ جَمِيعُ السَّلَفِ, and all the Salaf sought protection. جَمِيعُ السَّلَفِ بِاللَّهِ, they seek protection in Allah from al-alim al-fajir. The alim who is evil, who is lost his way, who is using his knowledge for dunya. وَمَا تَعَوَّضُوا مِنَ الْفَاجِرِ الْجَاهِلِ, but they did not seek protection in Allah from the wicked or the sinful, foolish person, the sinful, weak-minded, but for the alim, because there's danger in this. And I'm going to end on this story, come back to the imam we were talking about for the last 3 weeks, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. حُكِيَ أَنَّ بَعْضَ أَصْحَابِ أَحْمَدْ ibn Hanbalin, that it is reported that who used to study with Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, annahu kana yataraddad ilayhi sinin, that this person used to be with him for years. Thumma ittafaqa an a'rada anhu Ahmad, Imam Ahmad, suddenly Imam Ahmad stopped speaking to him, turn away from him, don't have anything to do with him. Wa hajarahu, he left him. Wa sara la yatakallamu, he decided he stopped speaking to him, and he would not. فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَسْأَلُهُ, so the person would come and ask, and he would not tell him. وَيَسْأَلُهُ عَنْ تَغَيُّرِهِ عَلَيْهِ, asking, trying to inquire, find out what is happening. And eventually he said, عَلَيْهِ وَهُوَ لَا يَذْكُرْ حَتَّى قَالَ, and then eventually he said, بَلَغَنِي أَنَّكَ طَيَّنْتَ حَاعِطَ دَارِكَ, he said, I've learned that you have plastered the wall of your house. Imagine this. This is a person has a house, and he says, and his house, the walls are on the main street. And he said, I noticed that you have plastered the wall of your house, طَيَّنْتَهَا لَدَارَكْ مِنْ جَانِبِ الشَّارِعِ, on the side of the road, of the public road. فَقَدْ أَخَذْتَ قَدْرَ سَمْكِ الطِّينِ, that you have taken, وَهُوَ أَنْمُلَةٌ min shari' al-muslimin, that you have taken that plaster has increased your house into the road of the public road by nearly an inch. Faqad akhasta qadraka min samk at-teen wa huwa anmulatum min shari' al-muslimin, and that road, that shari', that place, belongs to the Muslims, belongs to every Muslim. Even that road, everything in it belongs. That whole road belongs to Muslims, to the Muslims, to all the Muslims. فَلَا تَصْلُحُ لِتَعَلُّمِ الْعِلْمِ, so you are not suitable for learning of knowledge, to learn knowledge. A person who can do this, if you can take 1 inch, because this, now, there are several things, points to ponder in this, that, you know, the way we treat public property, the way we care for the property of Muslims around the world, the care, all sorts of considerations have to come in here, and the scrupulousness of the imam about who he teaches and who should have this knowledge. And that, from this also, you should also think about the people who are taken, the people who you take your knowledge from, not only the ulama who they teach, but who you take knowledge from. That if a person seems to be going after dunya and selling the deen, then you will be questioned. You will be responsible. You cannot feign. You cannot say that, you know, I thought it was good. No, you have to do your due diligence in this to make sure that who you are taking your deen from. طيب. فهكذا كانت مراقبة السلف لأحوال طلبة العلم. And so it was. This is how the pious predecessors used to monitor the condition of the students of knowledge. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Okay, so let's make dua, inshallah. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت، خلقتنا ونحن عبادك، ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا، ونبوء لك بذنوبنا، فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. والله forgive us. والله forgive us. Forgive our negligence and guide us to your mercies. Guide us to your special mercies. Oh Allah, protect our hearts. Protect our minds. Oh Allah, protect our hearts and our minds from doubt and the schemes of evil and the schemes of evil people and the schemes of shaitan. Place our joy and happiness in only that which pleases you. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts from the clutter of worldly pursuits. Oh Allah, cleanse our hearts and keep us steadfast on the path. Keep us steadfast on your path. Oh Allah, we are your servants. We are your creation. We are your slaves. We have no one else to turn to but you. You are our Lord. Oh Allah, accept our supplication. Fill our hearts with divine love and guide us to eternal success. Ya Allah, اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا، واجعله الوارث منا، واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا، وانصرنا على من عادانا، ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا، ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا، ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا، يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم ولا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا ميتا إلا رحمته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا أعنتنا عليها وقضيتها يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم وفرج هم المهمومين، ونفس كرب المكروبين، واقض الدين عن المدينين، واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين، واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين، واشف جميع مرضى المسلمين يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين آمين يا رب يا كريم. بارك الله فيكم. إن شاء الله we will come. I promised I was going to say tell you the funny story. إن شاء الله I'll tell you the funny story at the end of next at the end of the next class. It's the end of term. إن شاء الله you will hear that next week. إن شاء الله. But yes, please. Revise and inshallah see you all next week. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.